Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Happy Easter, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Growing in Grace podcast. My name is Joel Brzezicki, along with Mike Kepler, the Breezeman and the Cap, Growing in Grace, growingingrace.org, and your favorite podcasting apps. That's where you can find us. Thanks for tuning in wherever you've done it. And for leaving comments, we like hearing from our listeners as well. Just knowing that you're out there, knowing that what we're doing is being at least somewhat helpful to you. We love talking about this stuff. So many things to talk about. You know, there's just still so much religion, so much legalism going on in the church today. And those are words, you know, we don't just say it, and we don't just take those words lightly. But we're, in a sense, we're kind of combating that, all of that that's going on in the church, because it hurts people's lives. Not understanding the gospel and trying to apply the law of Moses, you know, that God gave to Israel, trying to apply that into the new covenant, mixing the two together, it's like the old wineskin and the new wine. The old wineskin has been stretched out as far as it can go, and you put the new wine into it, and it ferments, and it begins to expand, and the whole thing breaks. When you try to put the old covenant laws into the new covenant, it hurts everybody. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today in a specific regard to the law of Moses, and we'll see where that takes us today.
Yeah, we have this thing called the Bible, right? I mean, I think some people just thought it magically appeared sometime after the resurrection or right after the apostles died, or it just suddenly there it was. There's the Bible. Look at this. Hey, look what I found over here, guys. Come here. Almost like a burning bush on Mount Sinai, you know. Oh, there it is. Poof, the Bible. But we look at this thing like it's all one book, right? We just think of it as this collection of books. We view it as one book. A lot of times we, and there's nothing wrong with this per se, but a lot of times we just refer to it as a book. But it's a collection of books that have been written by many different people over a period of many different years. And those earlier writings, you know, we get this idea in the church world that this connection between what was going on, like for example, back in the day of Moses and the Israelites coming out of Egypt and everything that happened after that, we somehow, you know, start to try to tie that into things that Jesus said and how that is supposed to apply to us today. I mean, even many professional religious ministers out there, you have people who are just kind of combing through the pages, looking for sermon material for this Sunday, and coming up with some sort of illustration or parallel or something that you can teach people from these pages. Context isn't the issue. We just need something out of here that I can make some sort of illustration for the Sunday sermon that people can walk away with and think that they can apply to their lives. There's all kinds of different thinking about all of this out there, but what you were talking about, Joel, is absolutely true. We there was an old covenant that was established between God and Israel. Israel agreed to it. God didn't force it on them. Otherwise, that wouldn't really be a covenant. You need two or more parties to agree to the covenant. Israel, of course, didn't hold up their end of the agreement with this massive, burdensome law of commandments. It was one law, by the way. I know modern religionists and theologians, they like to divide up the law into different parts. Some will divide it up into three or more parts and say, well, some of this doesn't apply to us anymore since Jesus came, but some of it still does. And it's just all fabricated. It's made up. Mm-hmm. It's one law that the Jews were under. And they couldn't live up to it, even though that was their goal. That's what they said they would do. They would do this thing. We'll do it. we are going to do it. We're going to become doers, and it will be righteousness for us, and everybody's going to be happy. And it just didn't work out. It was never meant to work out. Nope. God knew what he was doing. But somehow we want to apply many, I shouldn't say many, we want to apply a very small portion, really, of that law to our Christian ideology when they are two totally separate things and they do not interact with each other, oil and water. They just don't mix. And so with that in mind, we're going to take a look at something Jesus said that is considered by many to be the crux or the foundation of what the Christian life is supposed to be about. And so we're going to try and look at this from a different perspective than what many have heard. Some of you are new listeners to our podcast, and we hope you'll stay with us because we approach many of these things very differently than what tradition has taught us. So let's get into it, Joel. I think we're in Matthew 22, correct?
Yeah, and we try to look at these things in context, and I think that's the difference. I think, like you were saying, people will just, I want to preach a sermon. I got a teaching to do this week. I've got to teach a Sunday school or whatever. You go looking for a certain subject. I'm going to teach on this subject. And so you open your Bible and you try to find things that fit the subject, not taking into account the context, such as the difference between the covenants. Like you say, there was a covenant of law. It was one law made up of 613 different commandments, and they're not to be broken up. And so Jesus came along, and he was teaching the law to the people who were under the law, the people of Israel. And in Matthew 22, he had just spoken to the Sadducees. They were not very happy. They were sad, you see. Okay.
All right.
And he had... So he had talked with them about some things, and then in verse 34 of Matthew 22, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, one of the Pharisees, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And so everybody listen, this is Jesus talking now, he's going to answer them. Jesus is talking. Jesus is our Savior, so we better listen to what Jesus says because that holds true to us, right? Whatever Jesus says, that's what we follow. Well, that's according to common thinking. But Jesus said, in response to the question, which is the great commandment in the law, Jesus said to the lawyer, the Pharisee lawyer, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And so we hear that, and again, we think, well, Jesus said it, so we need to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our mind, and we need to love our neighbor as ourself. Now, so Jesus said, on these two commandments hangs the new covenant. No, that's not what Jesus said. He said in verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And in Christ, in this new covenant, the law has been nailed to the cross. We're not under the law. Again, Jesus was speaking to those people who were under the law. And so, if you are one of these people, who, if you think that we're under parts of the law, well, if you want to look up that law yourself, love your neighbor as yourself, for example, Leviticus 19:18. "You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." That's where that law came from, Leviticus 19:18. Now, one verse later, it says, "Nor shall a garment of mixed linen and wool come upon you." It says all kinds of things that are you going to follow that as well? If we're supposed to keep the law, why not keep the laws that are right around that law? And then the same thing with "you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." That came from Deuteronomy 6:5. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." So anyway, all of these things, all of these laws, is exactly what that is. They were laws under the old covenant. In Christ, we're not under that. So are we saying that you shouldn't love God and that you shouldn't love others? Of course, we're not saying that. It's just that in the new covenant, it's not a commandment for us to love the Lord. You see, the commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. It doesn't just say try to love God. It doesn't just say try to love people. It says you shall love other, your neighbor as you love yourself. That's a pretty high standard. You know, the things that you would do for yourself, the way that you would love yourself, the way you would treat yourself, do that same thing for your neighbor, for other people. It's just a tall order. It's just something that's very hard to live by. And so in Christ, we have something far better than following commandments of the law. We have Jesus Christ in us, and we've come to know the love of God. You know, and John said, in this is love, not that we first loved God. So if you're commanded to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that's not love, because he says, in this is love, not that we first loved God, but that he first loved us. And then loving your neighbor as yourself, Jesus said, as I have loved you, so love one another. That's more along the lines of what we're to do. Not a commandment, but just looking at how great God's love is for us and getting to know that love and extending that love to others.
Yeah, you know, the law, the old law, which is now obsolete, and that we were never under, it was just meant for Israel at that time for those certain number of years. You know, commandments from that law came with a condition.
Right.
And if you didn't follow through on them perfectly, then there were consequences for that. And so it's like what you said, as I have loved you, love one another. It's a different perspective. And I want to reiterate what you said about what John said in his first epistle, 1 John, where he said, it's not about us loving God. It's not that we loved God. I mean, what a revelation. I mean, if you just stayed in Matthew 22 and thought this is the Christian life, I just need to love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind. And you didn't know what John was saying after the cross, after the resurrection, after the blood was shed, then you're going to be stuck in kind of a ministry of bondage, because John was saying, it's not that we loved God. Think about that. When there's so much emphasis by the church world going to what Jesus said here in Matthew 22, think about what John said. It's not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And you see, once you begin to understand, and as John said, believe in the love that he has for us, once you begin to get a revelation of that, then it changes everything. It empowers us to really love others and to love God because of his love for us. But we've turned it inside out. I don't know how we get this so backwards, but most of us did it for years, mostly because we're passing along or understanding what was passed along to the people who were teaching us. And if you get it, you know, you keep getting it wrong all the time. It's like that thing, Joel, where you're in the school classroom or whatever. You could do it in Sunday school too, I suppose. And somebody has a scent, let's just say a one-liner that gets whispered into somebody's ear, and they have to whisper it into the next person's ear until it goes all around the room and find out how different it comes out in the end.
Right, yeah.
Compared to how it started. That's kind of like what a lot of our Bible teaching has turned into. What was supposed to be this has become something entirely different. But so to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, all your mind, all your strength. I mean, who has ever done that? Here's the answer to that question. Nobody has ever done that. People just don't have the ability to do it the way that the writings demand that it be done. Think about the rich young ruler, Matthew 19. Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Why do you call me good? First of all, no one is good but one, and that is God. But if you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Which commandments was he talking about? Again, this is before the cross. Jesus is a minister moving around under the time of the old covenant. And he says, keep the commandments. And the rich young ruler says, which ones? Well, Jesus could have easily just said, all of them. Mm-hmm. Moses. The burning bush, right? I mean, just keep them all. Do all of them, because that's what the old covenant law said to do. But Jesus was engaging him, and he said, you shall not murder. Don't commit adultery. Do not steal. Don't bear false witness. You know the score. Honor your father and mother and love your neighbor. Oh, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's not even in the top 10, right? The young man said, all these things I have kept from my youth, what do I still lack? Jesus said, well, if you want to be perfect, sell what you have, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and then follow me. Come on. And he says, well, the young man heard that. Well, the young man heard that, and he went away sorrowful, sad, for he had great possessions. So, in other words, I think one of the things Jesus was pointing out to him was that if you're really loving your neighbor as yourself, if you're really keeping the law the way the law says to keep it, then why wouldn't you go and sell what you have and give to the poor? Mm-hmm. But he wasn't prepared to do that. He thought he had kept those commandments, Joel, many of them written in the original stone that from Mount Sinai and others that came along later, like loving your neighbor as yourself. But he walked away sad. He wasn't given the good news. The law exactly. could not save. And I think ultimately what Jesus was telling this young man who had great possessions, he was telling him, you're going to have to find a different way. But there was that element of self-righteousness, even though he wasn't really sure. He felt like, well, I've kept these. I've kept these since I was young. He really didn't.
Yeah. And it's like Paul said in Romans 9, toward the end of Romans 9, that, you know, the people of Israel, they were pursuing righteousness by the law, but they never found righteousness. They never attained to it. They were pursuing it, but they never found it, just like this rich young ruler, just like the Pharisees that Jesus was talking to, and the sad Sadducees. They were never going to be able to be righteous by keeping the law. And so that's one thing that they were going to find out, hopefully. That's one thing that they were hopefully find out by Jesus teaching the full truth about the law, is that you cannot have righteousness by trying to keep the law. Just one last thing. If you are of the mindset that we should keep the law, that as believers we're supposed to keep the law, well, Jesus said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I mentioned a law that was right around that in Leviticus 19. Here's some more. I mean, if you want to pick and choose which laws you should keep and shouldn't keep, well, that's on you. But a little bit later in Leviticus 19, you shall not shave around the sides of your head, nor shall you disfigure the edges of your beard. So don't ever shave if you're a guy. And you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor any tattoo marks on you. I am the Lord. There are things like that. You shall not eat anything with the blood. I mean, there's all kinds of things about planting trees for food, and then you need to count their fruit as uncircumcised for 3 years. And then in the fourth year, its fruit shall be holy. I mean, do you follow that law? So, I mean, it's just kind of silly that we think that we can just pick and choose which laws we want to keep, when really none of it was for us. It was all exclusively for Israel, for those who were under it. And in Christ, what happened with Christ is the law, as Ephesians says, it was nailed to the cross in his flesh. It was abolished in his flesh. It's Colossians 2 that says it was nailed to the cross and taken out of the way, wiped out. And in Christ, we have something far greater, something far better than trying to keep laws that we could never even, the people who were under it couldn't even keep them. They were the ones that had this thing read to them all the time, and they could never do it. What makes us think that we can? We have something far greater. It's Jesus Christ in us. And of course, not one commandment from the entire law could bring life. So we'll talk about next week right here on Growing in Grace.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke. Heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.